Well, good morning. I'm so happy to be with you this morning. And of course, I'm happy because my wife is finally joined me. We last week, so we're getting to know her. 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege of preaching at Central Church of the Nazarene for their Faith Promise Sunday. And as I prepared for this morning, I felt a little going back to that same text, but maybe turned a little bit about a bit. So that was a Faith Promise service. This morning, my theme is Promise Faith. So maybe turn it backwards this morning. And I want to invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word from Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 through 15. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 through 15. You see the words there. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gideon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Joshua. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky, and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before, or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human voice. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp of Gilgal. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. May you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to respond to the people. You may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my mouth be accepted as you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, on January 3rd of this year, my boys and I departed from Vancouver. I don't know if that's a great map, but you can kind of see where we're at. Actually, the plane flew north around Alaska. I can't have to imagine the globe, I guess, it's the picture. But it was interesting. We left on January 3rd, and we arrived on January 5th, more than a full day after leaving. Now, the flight only took 14 hours, but it took more than 24 hours to get here. That's a bit confusing, isn't it? Of course, traveling westward, we crossed the international date line, losing a day, as we say in English, although in fact we gained a day, but as you've learned, English is a very confusing language. We don't always say what we mean, and nor do we always mean what we say. And so I have a lot of sympathy for you who are here to study in English. It's not easy. Well, in Joshua 10, the Israelites gained the day. They did not take the international right? Through the divine action of the Lord in response to the prayer of Joshua. It was a remarkable day. The day started out with news of an impending attack. If you have your Bibles open, you can see in Joshua chapter 10, verse 1 through 4, we read that Israel's alliance with the people called the Gideonites entangled Israel in a war with five Amorite kings. In verse 4, we get to read a message. I don't know how they sent messages back in that day. Probably not an email or a Facebook message, or maybe they sent a writer, but somehow the Gideonites got a message to Joshua. First the message came from the king, Adonai Zedek, one of the Amorites' kings. The other kings sent a message saying, come up and help me attack the Gideonites, because they made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. You might remember that story, how the Gideonites kind of pulled a fast one on the Israelites, and they entered into a treaty. And now the other kings of the Amorites are attacking the Gideonites. And of course, the Gideonites were alarmed and afraid. They sent a message to Joshua. And this is the message we intercept in verse 6. But they say to Joshua, help! Don't abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces. So, of course, being a man of his word, honored the treaty he had made with the Gideonites. And so he gathered his armies, the armies of Israel, and marched them into battle against the five Amorite kings. There was a popular movie in Vancouver just before we left called The Hobbit, Battle of Five Armies. I don't know if that's been popular here or not. Well, this is a battle of five armies, six armies actually, five against one, five Amorite kings against the army of Israel. Now, that doesn't seem fair, does it? Five against one, and if you like those odds, maybe Joshua was a bit nervous. He might have been afraid. Maybe he was having second thoughts about that treaty he made with the Gideonites. You actually see this over and over, though, in the book of Joshua, where the Lord continually comes back to Joshua. And we read in verse 8 that the Lord, maybe sensing Joshua's fear, says this word to him, do not be afraid, Joshua. Don't be afraid. You hear that in Joshua over and over again. Don't be afraid. I have given these five armies. Not one of them will be able to withstand. Wow, that would have been an encouraging word to hear. Joshua, don't be afraid. I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand. Now, I want you to remember that word, this promise from the Lord. Maybe you can keep your thumb on it as we go through the scripture this morning. Make a mental note of this. These are very important words to understand our scripture this morning. Emboldened by this word, Joshua leads his army to battle. We read of an all-night march from their camp in Gilgal. Finally, Joshua and his army come to the five Amorite armies, catching them by surprise. We read that the Lord throws the Amorite army into confusion as the Israelites take the fight to them. Now, at some point during the battle, the amazing event that I read in verse 12 to 15 occurred. We're not told all of the surrounding circumstances, but it seems that the battle was looking like it was going to extend into the night. And maybe Joshua didn't want the Amorites to slip away and come back and fight another day. He wanted to finish the job. And so at some point during the battle, Joshua prays and he asks the Lord to extend the day. We hear that scripture, sun, stand still over Gideon, moon of the valley of Ajalon. And then the author says, indeed, the sun stood still, the moon stopped until the nation of Israel. But what an amazing event. The day was extended. Now, I think that's amazing in itself, don't you? I mean, that's to me the most amazing part of the scripture. The sun and the moon holding still, the day being extended. It instills us with a sense of awe and wonder, the might and power. But what's remarkable to me about this story is if you read the text carefully, you see that the sun stopping in the sky, the moon standing still, is not what amazed the writer of the book of Joshua. What amazes the writer of this story is not the sun stopping or the moon standing still. What amazes the author of this story in verse 14 is this: the Lord listened to a human being. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a human being. I like that verse. The author is amazed that the Lord, the one who set the sun and sky in the heavens, the one who created the moon and the days and the seasons, this one, this. What amazes you about the Lord? Does it amaze you that the Lord can do miracles, can interrupt and change the pattern of the days? Does it amaze you that the Lord listened to a man, to a woman? I wonder if sometimes we get to a place in our Christian lives where we just take it for granted that the Lord listens to us. We're no longer amazed that the Lord, God of heaven and earth, is listening. Every now and then in my pastoral ministry, as I'm meeting people, I meet people who are amazed that the Lord hears their prayers. There was a woman in the congregation I pastored in Seattle named Miss Adrian. Actually, you remember Miss Adrian. She was in her 70s, a widow. My first Sunday at church in Beacon Hill, she greeted me at the door. She had her mariner's cap on. It's a Seattle baseball team. And her mariner's jacket on. And she said, "Sorry, pastor, I got to leave early today. I'm going to the mariner's game." So, okay, that's great. Have fun. That's what we deal with when we pastor in Seattle. But wonderful lady, beautiful woman. And I see if you live in the sense of wonder and amazement that the Lord listened to her prayers. I remember one day I was driving Miss Adrian, and we were going to visit somebody. I think it was in the hospital in downtown Seattle. And as is often the case in the city, it's hard to find parking. And we were getting late for our appointment, and we've been around the block two or three times. And finally, Miss Adrian said, "Pastor, we need to pray." And she just prayed. She said, "Lord, we need to find a parking lot, a parking spot. We're here on your business. We're here to visit this person. Help us find a parking spot." Wouldn't you know it? Almost immediately after she said amen, there's a parking spot. To tell you the truth, I did not expect that prayer to be answered. Only a little faith, and Miss Adrian a great faith. She expected the Lord was listening to her prayers. I learned a lot from Miss Adrian. When you're a pastor, you learn a lot from people in your congregation. Prayer is the great privilege of the people of God. The New Testament tells us that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are invited boldly into God's heavenly throne, where we can present a request to God. The Bible even says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we pray. We don't even know how to pray sometimes, and the Spirit is praying with us and for us. Prayer is what one author calls a transforming fellowship. I love that prayer. It transforms us as we pray. We pray to the Father through the Son with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we are changed. We are transformed as we realize that the Lord God cares. He loves us. He hears our prayer. You may have heard of a man named Reese Howells, famous person of prayer. His prayer relationship with God was transformed as he began to see God answer his prayer. If you listen to Reese tell a story, he said that as a young man, his goal in life was to make money and retire early. How's that for a goal? You know anybody who has that as a life goal? Make lots of money and retire early. That's what Reese set out to do in life. But he had a serious illness as a young man, almost took his life. And he made one of those deathbed vows. Everyone really sick. call up to God and say, oh God, just get me through this. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You've done that before. I don't know. Lord, help. And he prayed. And the Lord actually heard that prayer. And the Lord began to speak to Reese and began to call him to a deeper prayer. And as he began to listen to the Spirit, he heard that the Spirit was saying to Reese, Reese, you need to no longer just pray things that your own men can see, but only pray what I want you to pray. You see, Reese had been praying his whole life, but he had been praying things like, Lord, bless me, prosper me, help me to accomplish the things I want to do in life, make me successful, Lord. Pray for whatever he felt like he needed. But now he began to sense the Spirit discerning, and he didn't stop praying this way. Only pray what the Spirit would lead him to pray. And as he began to do this, he began to sense the Lord calling him to pray for others, for other needs, not just his own, for other concerns. And as he did so, he began to see very devastating. People were healed. Even in his story, world events were altered. He says his prayer life was transformed when he no longer focused on prayers that promoted his life and mission, praying prayers that would extend the mission of God in the world. He writes that the key to this kind of prayer is to first hear from the Lord, and then make your request based on what the Lord has already told you. In other words, listen first, speak second. Of course, this is the key to any healthy relationship. Husbands, wives, you've learned this already. Listen first, speak second. Any roommates, it's not a bad philosophy. Listen first, speak second. Maybe even for faculty and administrators, as we live together. Maybe listening first, speaking second. That would be a pretty good way to go. But of course, it's not easy to do. We're quick to speak. We've got things we want to say. In our prayer life, we jump right in. Okay, Lord, here's the things I need today. And we went off on the list. We're quick to speak, but often slow to listen. How do we become listeners? Well, first, I think we need to learn to discern, distinguish between our own inner voice and the voice of the Lord. You know, my head is full of voices. No, I'm not schizophrenic. But throughout my day, I get impressions, I get information, and I think, well, maybe I should do this, or I should do that. And some of those voices have been shaped by past experiences, and other people have told me things. And we need to learn to discern the voices, to learn to listen not to a quiet voice, which may mean waiting on the Lord. Thomas said, don't just sit there and do something. That's a phrase we use in English. Don't just sit there, do something. Well, I would suggest in prayer we need to turn that around. Don't just do something. Sit there. Listen. You can become familiar with the voice of the Lord by listening to the voice of the Scripture. Why do we encourage you to be a Bible-based school? We need to learn to hear God's voice. How is this spoken in Israel's history, in the history of the church, and through the people of God and the Scriptures? Learning to discern the voice of the Good Shepherd as he speaks through his word. We learn to listen by listening to his voice through the people of God. I love this. We learn how God has spoken through the past to people. And even in our own communities, we learn to listen by listening to one another. I'll tell you, as a pastor, this is so crucial. Pastor, you're not the only people that God speaks to in your congregation. The Spirit of God has been given to the people of God. And one of our first jobs is to listen to the people. How is God working in this place? What is he doing? What are we doing out here? And we fall into the rhythms and the movements of the Spirit. And as we listen, we may begin to discern the Spirit begins speaking to us. And then once we hear from the Lord, discerning his voice, then we are able to pray, to act with confidence that the God who has spoken will fulfill his promise. This is why I call this promise faith. And this is what we see in Joshua 10. You know, Joshua didn't just wake up one morning and say, today we've got a big battle, so I think we're going to win. I'm going to ask the sun to stop, and we're going to hold still, and we'll wrap things up, and be home by noon. How's that sound? And this wasn't magic. This is not the Lord, Joshua trying to manipulate the Lord. This is not naming it and claiming it, you know, God, do this for me. No, I told you to pay attention to verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid of them, Joshua. I've given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to escape. This is the Lord's promise to Joshua. He'd already told him. He's going to live this battle for him. These armies will be defeated. They won't be able to withstand him. He had already heard this promise from the Lord. And it's based on that promise that he's able to pray with such a bold and audacious prayer, even stopping the sun in the sky. You know, that makes me think that what's really amazing about this passage is not that the sun stopped in the sky, and not even that the Lord listened to a man. What's amazing is that a man listened to the Lord. That's what's amazing, isn't it? That Joshua heard from the Lord, listening, and then in faith acted based on what he heard. My friends, faith is always a response, isn't it? Always a God speaks, we listen. God directs, then we act. God calls, then we go. I love the scripture that was read earlier from Luke. You have this man sitting, heard from the Lord. You are going to see Israel's Messiah in your lifetime. Man, what a word to hear. But what a drag if you heard that word like at age 16, you know? Now he's an old man, maybe all those years of waiting, 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 but he had that peace. And then he sees the Lord Jesus. And then they hold on to that peace. This journey that we've been on as a family has been, for us, a journey of faith in response to God's promise. Around 3 years ago, we were pastoring in Vancouver, Canada. Dr. Floyd Cunningham came to our church as the missionary speaker. And he shared about the work of APNTS and shared about the work of the worker and Melissa Child and all the good work of professors like Dr. Matz and Pastor Kyle. And as he was speaking, my wife and I were on different sides of the sanctuary. We were, you know, the moment we think, hey, something's happening. And we began to sense the Spirit, independent of one another, speaking to us. Spirit was speaking to Ashley about working with children and kids and with me about maybe being a part of the community here. And so after the service, we had lunch with Dr. Floyd, went to the Buffalo Weekly Soup Restaurant, and we were sitting and we shared, Dr. Floyd, we feel like the Lord is speaking to us through your message. And we don't mind, Lord, I love what you said to us in these comments. He said, he's very wonderful. I don't often inspire people to what I say. So it must have been the Holy Spirit. It seems so foolish to us. Why would we leave Vancouver? Leave our home and our friends and our church and our family. The Lord really be speaking to us. We didn't want to act in person. So we need to wait upon the Lord and to pray and discern. We spent the next year and a half or more just reading the scripture and praying and seeking godly counsel. We wanted to make sure that we weren't just acting in faith, but we're hearing from the Lord. And his word was confirmed to us as we prayed, as we read the scripture. That with people in our denomination and we're interviewed. You know, that whole wonderful process you have to do when you get to know the Lord. You interview with them. We all have to do those things. But it's through those interviews and those meetings that you're being helped as you're discerning the Lord's calling in your life. Finally, we came to a place where we heard God's word. Similar to what he said to Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't go with you. Oh, go, be with you. Then you hear that word, you're scared. Oh man, how do I do, you know? And so we had to pray and pray and pray. Lord, there's so many prayers. How do we get here? And concern for our boys, and we need financial resources. And of course, we had to act as well. Ashley spent the last 6 months going out and talking to churches and asking people to support her. And that's kind of awkward, you know? Some financial support, we want to go out and serve. She did that with courage. We listened to the Lord. We had to act and sell our home and move our family and ask people to pray with us. And we are here today in response to God's promise. And he's answered the prayers. To me, it's almost as difficult as stopping the sun in the sky. Imagine we'd be here today with you. God calls and we heard his promise. We respond in pain. Now, I know we could open up the microphones and we could line up and share the same testimony. Because in some way, all of us are here. Similarly, we've heard the word from the Lord. Whether you're a student or a faculty member, the administrator, you've heard God's call. You've come. You're facing challenges. What's the word I've been hearing? Requirements. Last night I met the ladies' dorm. I said, is there anything I can help you with the new students? They said, you need less than our requirements. I said, no, I'm the wrong name for that. We need to talk to them. Talk to the Lord. Sun, stop in the sky. Dr. Floyd, less than our requirements. It seems like a miracle to me. It's hard. You feel like the odds are stacked against you. I'm encouraging this morning. The word of God's call is promise. Press forward in faith. Don't be afraid. You may need to act. You may need to do some things that are hard and difficult. It may take longer than you expected it. And the journey may not be a straight line. I don't think I've met anybody who's journey with the Lord is a straight line. It usually goes this way, that way. By the time you get there, you look back, and I don't know what your journey is, but I want to encourage you this morning to listen to the Lord, to recall his word to you, remember his promise, and lead God with joy, or to make a change of course, if that's what he's asking you to listen and trust the Lord. We are here to support you in that. As your new students, Dr. Cunningham, we are presidents. We're here to encourage you on your journey, to support you, to fulfill your calling. You're not alone. You have one another, your brothers and sisters. In other words, he will accomplish concerns you. Go forward in faith. In his promise, act in faith. Ask, seek, not pray. Can we pray for you? Can we pray for one another? Maybe our worship team is going to come back and lead us in a song. I'm not sure what it is you need to pray this morning. Maybe this morning you just need to listen. Or maybe this morning you need to ask. Maybe it's been a while since you've heard. And you're asking, why am I here, Lord? What am I doing here? You need to be reminded of this call and this place. Maybe this morning you'd like to pray as our worship team sings. If you'd like to make these altars a place of prayer, you're welcome to do this as we sing.